You're listening to Intentionally Catholic, a podcast about living our Catholic faith with joy and intention.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Hansen, and as always, I'm joined by Father Ron Hutchinson. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about incense. You know, why is it used? What does it symbolize? How ancient is it? What's up with all the smoke? Basically, that's what we're after. Now, Father, we're heading into a season on the liturgical calendar that's just filled with smells and bells, you know, and coming from a Protestant background, this has really always been one of my favorite things to experience at Mass, you know, the ceremony, the ritual, the sounds, and the smells, and particularly the smells of incense. I love that. I visited a ton of Catholic churches over the past 10 years in this whole journey. You know, we just tried to get as many places as we could, and I loved walking into an old building where it's just emanating out of the walls. You know, it's just been used so much over the last 100 years in that parish that it's part of the building. I love the smell of it. I love watching it happen. I always wonder about the poor altar servers during particular masses where they've got it and there's a long prayer and they're just bathed in smoke. I wonder about all of that, but I love it. However, I know there are a fair number of people, perhaps, that really don't like that smell so much. Do you ever run into that at all?
Yeah, I don't even know if it's so much about the smell, to be quite honest with you, because I think the majority of people like the smell, maybe more so after it's, you know, kind of there in the building. But I think a lot of people associate incense with the smell of smoke, too. Okay. I mean, that it smells like a fire, you know. And yes, there are people who hate incense. I mean, I can name people without even trying.
Which we won't do on this podcast.
Which I won't do. I'm not going to do. Okay.
I didn't think you were, but man.
I'm not going to call anybody out. Okay.
I think we'd get listeners. But we'd grow our listening base. Yeah, Father names could. Names.
But I can tell you that there are people who start coughing at Mass before I've even put incense on the hot coals. So no smoke has even been created yet, and they're already coughing because I'm going to do it.
Do you dump an extra spoonful or two in when you hear that?
I have to admit, sometimes I kind of do because I just get like, okay, I'm going to really put some smoke in here. Yeah. But, you know, I think that at least for me, I am one of those people that also has loved it over all of my life as a Catholic. I mean, I've been on lots of different ends of the experience. I've been, you know, sitting in the congregation, and I've been the server, and I've been a priest who's, you know, handling it as well. And for me, it's, there's something about having incense at a liturgy that immediately makes it like just different or special or just super like great. I don't know how to even describe it entirely, but there's something about watching that, you know, resin and gum, which you're putting on the coals, hot coals, become these fingers of smoke that rise up. And of course, you know, the scriptural references, you know, let our prayers rise like incense, our hands like the evening offering. You know, it's that which comes from psalmody. You know, it's that idea that it's our prayers are rising up to God. And interestingly enough, I mean, incense has existed literally since religions began over all the centuries, over all the religions. I mean, there's probably not a single one that doesn't have incense of some form or fashion, okay? So it was, you know, part of the Israelites' experience. And it got transferred into our experience as Christians.
Well, we see it in Exodus 30. That's when God commands Moses to build an altar for the burning of incense. Mm-hmm. It's primarily that. Exactly. We see it in Revelation, where the angels are bringing that, and that's the prayers of the saints, but rising like incense before the altar.
It's meant to be the realization that worship should use all of our senses, okay? So it isn't just about our hearing. It isn't just about our voices singing and praying. It's also about our noses smelling this sweet scent. It's rising to God, and it's about our eyes seeing the beauty around us, seeing, you know, the beauty of art, the beauty even of incense that, you know, hangs in the ceiling of a gorgeous cathedral or a basilica, you know, that just is kind of hanging there. And I think for me, it's just always a sense of like, wow, you know, isn't this cool? Now, I will admit the choir here at the Basilica gets a little uptight when it's a little too smoky because it seems to sit right in the choir loft. And they don't like that so much. And I get that. I get that. I'm not up there, so I'm not experiencing it the same way. For me, I'm experiencing it down below where it's like, yeah, in the instant it's all on top of me, but it disappears fairly quickly.
Well, it goes straight to the choir loft is where it goes.
Yeah, it goes straight to the choir loft where they're not so happy about it. So, yeah, we're engaging a lot of different tools up there to keep the smoke moving. And it's always harder in the seasons where we don't have the ability to have doors open or, you know, the ceiling fan on that's pulling it out further, you know. So, but it is always a moment of like great beauty added onto a liturgy where there's already other forms of beauty that are being put before us. So, and incense is used in a variety of ways. It's used to just offer a sweet odor to God, our prayers, but it's also used as a tool of blessing in our tradition and in the Orthodox tradition. So when you know, swing the thurible, which is the big, the little bucket of charcoal that has the incense poured on top of it, as you swing it around an object or a person, you're also blessing them. Okay, so it's very common to, right at the beginning of the liturgy, if you're using incense, to bless the altar that's going to be used for the sacrifice of the Mass. It's very common to bless like the nativity set during Christmas, or to bless the Paschal candle during Easter. It's also the gifts of bread and wine after, you know, as part of that offering experience that's going forward, you know, after the priest prays the prayers of offering, then he incenses the gifts and the altar once again. And then the priest even can be incensed, and the congregation. In a big liturgy, it's not uncommon that if the priest is incensed, in preparation that he's in a sense being blessed or cleansed by the incense smoke, then the congregation is as well. Okay, so, and then the final time that I can think of where incense is as a blessing, the body of the deceased that's in a casket is always incensed at the end of the funeral liturgy. It's incensed entirely around as like, you know, a blessing, a form of a blessing of this, you know, this shell that is remaining here. It's not so much the shell that you're blessing, but the idea of the person, you know, is being blessed. Okay, so, those are the things I can think of automatically off the top of my head that get incensed. I mean, you could just have a pot of incense going, you know, during a whole like liturgy if you wanted.
Right,
I mean,
from the choir loft. You could just start it right up there.
Yeah. Yeah, we can start it from up there.
So when you're incensing the altar, are there specific motions? I mean, are you just kind of winging it, or do you have a specific?
You know what's interesting? I would say that most of the time I'm just trying to cover the entire altar, meaning up and down,
okay.
You know, that I'm not just kind of like swinging just to swing and be done with it, that it's a motion of doing up and down and, you know, kind of high and low. And now when you bless an object, there's a certain number of times you swing and number of swings.
Okay.
So like it's usually a set of three with, you know, one or two. Okay. Objects usually get one. People get two.
Now I notice on the altar, you'll swing it in a circle and then you kind of make like the points of the cross.
I make the sign of the cross. Yeah. That comes kind of from an old ancient tradition of the Orthodox, probably the older traditions of the church, to like kind of do a three circle, like mm-hmm. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and then make the sign of the cross over the gifts. And that's just something I just thought it looks very cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, every priest is different, by the way. None of it is like, none of it is dictated specifically. Okay. Like in that, that's not dictated. Okay. It doesn't say we have to do that. The only thing that's dictated, like I said, is the number of swings and the number of times you swing.
Okay. And it's three or it depends.
Yeah. It's three sets. Okay. And then it's usually sets of one or two.
So like when
some, although with, even with sometimes I've seen, when it's the Eucharist, like on at a Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, or that'd be Adoration or Holy Thursday after, you know, before the procession. I've seen people do three sets of three sometimes, you know, because it's God, you know. It's kind of meant to be a visual of the reality of what's happening. Our prayers are rising like incense. So we use the incense to help us visualize what is happening in that whole liturgy. And, you know, we're visual people. We're people of the senses, okay? That's why liturgy, if you think about it, it uses every single sense we have. It's even using our entire bodies. I mean, we as Catholics, yeah, we get, you know, accused of having Catholic calisthenics, you know, during Mass. Sit, stand, kneel, you know, all these various things. But it's because we use our entire selves to worship God. It isn't just a static thing. We don't just sit and sit or stand and stand. You know, we do a variety of different gestures to keep ourselves engaged in worship. So it's just, I always say to people, yeah, there's, you do get, you know, a certain amount of steps in or movement in, you know, but it's good.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, it is.
And we're keeping people awake, you know.
And there is that, yes. But like I come from a Protestant background. And so when I, you know, first went to the different Catholic churches, I believe that my journey was a little bit, I think the person who was helping me along the way was pretty wise and steered me to, why don't you try this Catholic church, which was, it didn't have near the liturgy, you know, stuff that was going on. I mean, the liturgy is the same, but not all of the different ceremonies and rituals. It felt very much like home to me. And then I started on my own track and I would hit more and more and I would go to higher church settings. You know, I guess I don't know how else to describe it. And for me, going back, you know, after I, you know, had been at the Basilica or, you know, St. Sebastian, I remember being there. But just the whole idea, we come in and we'll bless ourselves with holy water. Then we genuflect. Mm-hmm. You know, so all these things you're talking about, there's, first off, there's this huge sense of the sacred that starts to really develop as I progress to churches that really embrace the ritual part of things. And I realize, you know, the kids, there was no chatting. You know, we spent, when we would get to church in our old church and, you know, the Protestant church, and not to slam that, it's just how it was. We would talk and talk and talk until church started. You know, you're just chatting with everybody. Here, it's just, there's a sense of quiet that descends on everybody. But we're watching all of this. And I went back, you know, just, we would go back and forth from time to time before I was Catholic to a Protestant church after I'd been in a Catholic church for a while. And the sense of loss that I had when there was no water, there's no holy water here. And there's no genuflecting and there's no bells going off and there's no incense. You know, I guess if you're raised in it, maybe it's old hat to some people. For me, it's just perpetually new, it feels like, you know, I'm so happy to have that here. And like you said, to see the smoke, to see the light filtering through the smoke, it takes you to a place where this is other. This isn't just like being outside or being in a normal building or a gym or wherever you're at. There's something here. Something big is happening.
Yeah, it does. I think the whole of what we do liturgically is meant to remind us that we're getting a glimpse of heaven, a glimpse. Okay. We're not in heaven, but we're getting a glimpse of the heavenly banquet. We're getting a glimpse of the heavenly liturgy. And so, yeah, there is something about when the smoke is just at a certain point and the sun is streaming through a stained glass window and there's just a beauty that you can't create. You couldn't make using smoke machines or, you know, you couldn't come up with it on your own. It's sort of like it's God's hand at work, you know, creating that beauty even that draws you in and it makes you feel a something. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. One of the things I think that for me when you walk in like a Catholic church where, like you said, the walls are literally imbued with the incense, smell of incense, because it's been for hundreds of years, it's been used over and over and over again. There's something that immediately evokes the sacred for me when I walk in a church where I can smell incense like that, or even candle wax, real beeswax candle wax, where it just, there's a certain smell that that has. And for me, that will always immediately call me to prayer, or at least remind me that God is present. God is there.
That's exactly what I was trying to get at. When I walk in, you just feel something's happening here. This is an important, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be focused because something big, way beyond me, something eternal is moving here. And I'm only going to catch a glimpse of it, a little tiny bit of it. But that's where the incense plays a role in that. And I think it's interesting that this is something, it's not that we made up. The Catholic Church didn't make this up. It goes, like you said, ancient religions, I mean, almost every religion, but God specifically commanded Moses to use it. There's a reason, God knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And, the interesting part is that, even the incense was, I think, part of the whole animal sacrifice, and it tied in together. It is a form of a sacrifice as well, too. It's just a sweet sacrifice that's being offered. So it's a reminder of ourselves being lifted up to God. And so and hopefully we're a sweet offering to God in our lives, in our daily lives. And, our prayers are a sweet offering. So, yeah, I get that everybody feels differently about incense. As a priest, we're very aware of that, and it's one of the reasons that, we try to use it for primarily big days so that, if people are coming to the Basilica, they know that, and they're coming on, like Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, or they're coming on, Holy Week and Easter, the Easter Saturday and Easter Sunday, they know that there's going to be incense. It's just, that's the way it is. Okay. But it is funny because I every now and then somebody will say, well, why do we have to do this at funerals? And I'm like, well, I think it's important. It's an important because it's a form of a blessing. We don't just sprinkle with holy water. We also kind of want this person's soul to rise with the incense, to God's reign.
Holy water is a sacramental, right?
Yes.
Is incense considered a sacramental?
I would say that it only, in a sense, becomes a sacramental when it's used as, when it's in the use, when it's actually, incense is burning, okay? Mm-hmm. Holy water, that's been blessed, no matter when it's or how it's used, is always a sacramental. But I would say incense is more in the actual use of.
So I don't know if this is just a flat, dumb question, but when you walk around with your, what is that? I don't know that it's not a hyssop brand. You've got the little, you know what I'm talking about? And then you spray everybody with water.
We use a variety of things. We use aspergillum, which is like almost like a ball on an end of a wand, which holds water. Or you can use a brush. A lot of priests use brushes because it gets a lot more water all over everybody.
Yeah.
That is what we use to do that with.
So when you do
that. And it's interesting.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, everything in the Catholic Church has a name. And so the thurible is the actual pot that the incense is burned in and swung on a chain. And the incense, before it goes in there, is held in what's called a boat. Like B-O-A-T.
I was going to call it an ark. I was wrong. I knew it had a boat kind of a connotation. The kids talk about
it. Yeah, sea. Yeah, it's like it has something to do with the sea. But yeah, so everything has a name. So yeah, you have, holy water bucket. You have aspergillum.
Wait a minute. Everything has a name. The holy water bucket is called the holy water bucket.
It is a hookup.
There's nothing else. We've got a thurible, we've got a boat, and we've got a holy water bucket.
It's funny. It's just a holy water bucket.
Wow. I can't believe somebody did. They missed the boat on that one.
Maybe there's, maybe I could go back and look and see it. There might be something that's fancier, but I've only known it ever as a holy water bucket. Right. So,
well, I want to get back to my quick question. So when you go and you spray, it's kind of a reminder of our baptism. You're going around and you're throwing water on us, holy water, and we cross ourselves. And then during masses where we have incense, somebody, generally one of the altar servers, will come up and they will incense all of us. Mm-hmm. Are those comparable experiences or not really? Because this is not a sacramental versus holy water.
No, I mean, no, I think that's where they do differ. Okay. Because there will be some people that will make a sign of the cross after they've been incensed, and it's nothing's wrong with that. Okay. Because in a sense, we've been blessed. So, and whenever we bless something, we always usually make the sign of the cross, you know. We make the sign of the cross usually after being sprinkled with the holy water because of a reminder of our baptism. We're usually renewing our baptism at some level at that moment. Usually sprinkling rites occur most frequently during the Easter season, but they can occur almost any time. You know, you could bless water and then sprinkle the congregation instead of the penitential rite. So,
do you like doing that, walking around and throwing water on everybody?
You know what? There is a certain pleasure that comes from it. I'm not going to deny that. You know, especially for the people who you know well and are your friends, you sometimes want to make sure they get a little extra wet. Okay. But it's funny because the tradition of it in like the Orthodox Church and even ours is that the point is getting wet. Okay. It isn't like to be upset by the fact that, you know, water has dropped on you, you know.
Right.
You know, I get that it's not always fun if it ends up on the pew and you sit in it. You know, sometimes that's a little frustrating. But on the other hand, it's just water, you know. So it's not the end of the world. It's just water. So I think sometimes we just need to remember, you know, that liturgy is the experience of our entire senses. And even if that means sitting in water, it's still our senses.
And even if it means sitting in clouds of smoke from the incense,
it's still our senses. Yeah.
And just try to remember, this is just a quick view of what heavenly worship
God
is like.
God wants us to experience Him in all the ways possible. And we're only getting a very, very little glimpse. But even that we get that little glimpse is just such a wonderful thing.
Well, incense season is upon us, right? We are going to be experiencing that.
Holy Week will be coming. Yeah, well, this will start as of Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a week from this weekend.
Well, it's coming. The choir, be ready. Buckle up. Yeah. It's coming to you.
Buckle up.
All right. I think that's going to wrap it up. As always, we'd love your comments. We'd love to know what we're doing right, what you'd like to have us talk about. You can email us, and all of that information is coming in the outro. As it is, thanks for listening. For Intentionally Catholic, I'm Dan Hansen.
I'm Father Ron Hutchinson. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Intentionally Catholic. If you like what you heard, please consider sharing our show with a friend. If you have comments, questions, or topics you'd like to hear discussed, please email those to comments@icatholic.show. And be sure to tune in next time for another episode.